You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Well, good morning. Good morning to everyone here. Man, it's always so good, such a pleasure to worship with all of you. Great to be gathered in one space together. I want to take a moment, welcome everyone on the live stream as well. Every week we're praying for you and pray that you have an experience and an encounter with Jesus this morning as well. So thankful and honored that you're spending some time with us. If we've never had a chance to meet, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. And before we jump into our new series, Amateur Hour, I do want to draw your attention to votrweekly.org. If you have your phone, you can type in votrweekly.org. This is kind of your one-stop shop for everything that's happening at the Vineyard. If you ever wonder what's happening, what's going on, how can I get into a group, how can I register for an event, when's the next baptism, whatever it is, this is your place to go. And I want to highlight, there's just a lot happening this time of year. Of course, small groups are now open. I mentioned baptisms. We have a baptism coming up, newcomers dinner that Natalie and I will host at our house, all kinds of ministries happening this fall. Over the course of the next few weeks, I'll probably highlight a few here and there. But again, votrweekly.org, that's the place to find out everything that's taking place. Okay, today we are, as you saw in the video, we're starting a new series called Amateur Hour. Amateur Hour. This is a common phrase that maybe many of you have used this phrase, either when using self-deprecating humor, maybe like you saw in the video, like, oh my gosh, I am such an amateur, I can't believe I failed at this again. Or if you're around a bunch of people that just are really bad at doing whatever they're doing and you want to mock them or despise them in some kind of way, you can call a group of people a bunch of amateurs. If you were in church with us last week when the lights were flickering on and off, you probably thought, what is this? Amateur hour? This is the reality, right? Like that we all step into things, we're all growing and learning, kind of learning people in process. What I've loved, though, that despite how the phrase amateur hour or whatever it is has kind of morphed over the years, if you study the etymology, the origin of the word, it's a pretty interesting word. It comes from the French language, which comes from the Latin language, with an emphasis on amour or love. And so although we've kind of turned it into a way to tease ourselves or to tease others, the original meaning is simple. Amateur means a person who cultivates and participates in something but does not pursue it professionally or with an eye to gain, but from the pursuit of love. From the pursuit of love. And this is a perfect word if you call yourself a Christian. Because none of us started following Jesus because we woke up one day and we magically realized that we were like experts at not sinning. Right? We all started because he loved us and we love him in response. And that makes every single one of us an amateur. Until the day that you die, you will be an intern in the kingdom of God. And if you ever think mistakenly that you've come somehow like become an expert in Christianity, then I'm really glad that you're here today. And I'm honored to be the first person to tell you that no, even you are not that special. You and me and everybody else, we're all just a bunch of amateurs. And it's good to be an amateur. I think it's healthy for you to be an amateur at least a couple of things at like every stage of your life. Because it keeps you growing and it keeps you learning. It keeps you progressing forward. I remember the first time Natalie cooked me a meal. I got a mixture of laughter and like big eyes. Like, are you going there? It's okay. I talked to her beforehand. She said I could share this story. First meal that she cooked for me, we had just gotten married and we moved in to our first apartment together, and she just had this desire. She's like, I want to cook Jeff a meal. And I am telling you, it was amateur hour at its finest. Those pork chops, with every bite, I ate it and smiled. I felt like it was the right thing to do to eat whatever she made. But I'm like praying, dear God, help surround me with your angels so I don't get food poisoning right now. Would the warmth of your presence fill my belly and finish cooking this pork as I ingest it? Because it was It was amateur hour. And she said I could share it, right? She's fine getting embarrassed a little bit, laughing at her expense, because I promise you, if you come to our house for a meal now, you will get a little taste of heaven on earth. Because, oh, yeah, we can clap for my wife's cooking. She never stopped learning. She always kept growing. She wanted to learn new things, and it doesn't matter if it's paella or, like, I mean, brisket, smoked brisket, whatever it is, she's a master chef at this point. She was an amateur but never stopped learning, and this is all of our journey in Christianity. This is all of our journey in Christianity. Like, we'll always be growing. Every Sunday we gather, it's the largest amateur convention in town. Every Sunday morning. Right? And I hope it always stays that way, because at best, all we're doing is just trying to follow Christ in a dark world around us. Right? Like, it always, there's about two or three people that call me Pastor Jeff or Pastor Faust. Now you can call me Amateur Jeff or Amateur Faust. It's not, it won't be offensive to me. Right? This is the reality that we're all just a bunch of amateurs. And it's tough for Americans, right? It is tough because in our culture, we hate being beginners. We hate being beginners. It is the American way to speed through the learning phases as quickly as possible so that you can leave all of the elementary stages behind and you can enter into, like, the more important stuff or the bigger stuff. And this is like the mentality that we have. We elevate experts and we mock or despise those who are stumbling all the way to the starting line. And what happens is, if we see that or we get wrapped up in that culture long enough, then we stop taking risks for Christ and the kingdom, because we don't want to look like amateurs. Theologian Thomas Merton said it this way: we do not want to be beginners, but let us be convinced of the fact that we will never be anything but beginners all of our life. We are an amateur church filled with amateur followers looking to advance the kingdom of God in an amateur kind of way. Most of our scripture for this series will come from 1 and 2 Timothy. These are books that are both found in the New Testament, and they're great books for a series like this, because in 1 and 2 Timothy, you have Paul, who's kind of an expert church planter in early Christianity, and he's writing letters to one of his proteges, one of the guys that he's kind of set up as a new young leader named Timothy. And Timothy, like many of us, he struggled to be secure in his identity in Christ and would get pushed by the culture one way or another. And so Paul wrote these letters to him to continue encouraging him to keep influencing the world, teaching the word of God, and stay true to what God has called him to be. That's where most of these scriptures are going to come from, because it's like Paul's writing to every one of us. That in the midst of our life, in the midst of our world, we will get pushed one way or another, but we need to stay the course and embrace the journey we're on. Today, we're going to start the series with an important invitation from 2 Timothy. The invitation for all of us to become an amateur evangelist. An amateur evangelist. If you're a follower of Christ, whether you're brand new to the faith or you've been following him your entire life, you are called to be an amateur evangelist. And most of us, like, I get, we don't like that word. It kind of creates a bit of anxiety or stress in some of us, but most of the time, that stress or anxiety comes from history, or it comes from a bad example that maybe we saw in the past. But we can never let a bad example keep us from a godly calling. And God has called each and every one of us, whether we're good at it or not, whether we love it or hate it, or whether we've never tried sharing our faith, or we've tried 1,000 times and we've never led anybody into a relationship with Christ. We're all called to be an evangelist. And it's okay if you feel like an amateur. 2 Timothy chapter 1 is where we're going to open up the scriptures this morning. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Paul wrote to Timothy, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Verse 8, so never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I am in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Timothy struggled with timidity, with fear, but I love verse 8. Never be ashamed to tell others about Jesus. Never be ashamed. And the truth is, most of us, we're not great at sharing our faith. Some of us have probably never led anybody into a relationship with Jesus. Most of us, maybe a handful of people. The very few of us, the small percentage of us, have maybe led more than 5 or 10 people into a relationship with Jesus our entire life. But it's a small fraction. The reality is, most of us are amateurs when it comes to sharing our faith. And that's okay. It is okay. We just have to make sure that this amateurism that we have in our life when it comes to evangelism doesn't keep us from actually trying. Like, that can't become an excuse for never trying to share our faith with the people that God's placed in our lives. One of the fun elements of this series, at least I'm going to think it's fun. I hope we're in it already, so I hope you think it's fun as well, is that every Sunday we're going to interview somebody who's tried whatever topic it is of the Sunday, and largely they're going to be professional Christians. They're going to be people who actually get paid to do this stuff for a living, and they're going to tell a horrible, miserable, like just tragic story about how they tried this and utterly failed. Okay, and then, just so you know, what I want to do after every professional Christian shares this story, I want all of us to point at them and in unison say out loud, "You are such an amateur," and laugh at their expense. Not so much mocking, more of that, you know, the love and the feeling of endearment, okay? And I realize there's probably going to be a continuum. Like, some of you might be half and half mocking and love. Some of you might be, depending on the person, you might lean one way or the other. But I'm encouraging you to land on love. And the idea behind this is that hopefully it helps all of us realize that the professionals are just amateurs too. And that the amateurs are awesome. And at best, we're all just a bunch of blind squirrels trying to find a nut in the kingdom of God. This is the reality. And so this week, Bristow Hood, the pastor on our staff, and the guy who leads our largest evangelistic effort called Alpha, you had a chair drop when you came in, is going to share with us a story about how bad he is at evangelism.
I just want to thank you for this opportunity to embarrass myself in front of a large audience and listening in.
Look, we put associate pastor, amateur evangelist.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
This is the reality.
I try to seize every opportunity I can to do this sort of thing. So,
Bristow, tell us your story of the time you tried to share your faith.
Okay, so I'm at Cooper Smith's Pub, you know, down in Old Town. I think it's on Mountain. And I'm eating the cheapest item on the menu, a pub burger, with my friend Greg, who's also cheap. And he's also eating a pub burger. And we are talking about church stuff. You know, we're talking about personal evangelism, how we don't do it that much anymore.
This is a discipleship meeting, then.
A discipleship meeting is what it was.
Right, exactly. Right. I'm trying to feed him the language. But you're talking about evangelism.
Evangelism and how, you know, we don't bring people to church as much as we used to do. And so we're talking about this kind of thing. And as we're talking, I look across the restaurant, and there's a guy that looks kind of like me. And he's eating a pub burger, too, with his wife, who's having a pub burger. I think it's like a date night or something like that. And the thought occurs to me, what's the worst thing that could happen if I just, you know, went over there and you know, shared my faith or invited him to church? I wasn't clear.
So wait, so the way that you heard from God is that you were sharing the same meal. He was eating the same meal that you were.
It could have been a sign. I don't know. Actually, looking back, I don't think it was a sign. I think it was a sign not to do it. But yeah,
that was enough for you to break up their intimate date. I mean, like, all we know, this guy could have been on a business trip.
And like I said, I didn't think it through, which is not a good thing to do. So anyway, then I think I gotta do this thing. You know, I kind of a self dare. So without thinking anything through, I put down my pub burger, I stand up, I walk across the restaurant, and I come up to them, and I kind of invade their space, right? I'm not their server, I'm not the manager, I'm just standing right next to him, and I'm looking in his eyes, and he's ticked, you know? And I look over his wife, and she's scared. And then I freeze. And I kind of fog over, and to be honest, I don't remember what I said. But I know that it was not received well. And the reason I know that is he kind of bursts up out of his chair, and he kind of like belly to belly kind of starts backing me up, kind of like a major league umpire.
He got physical.
Manager, well, just right here. And he's just trying to back me out of my space, and it occurs to me, you know, exercising the gift of evangelism is about to turn into a bar fight. You know, what's the worst that could happen? A bar fight. That's probably about as bad as it could get.
So what I love about this story is that you just, like, stood over them. Like, your shadow is over their table.
I was kind of in the dominant. But, yeah, it was bad.
And so when he bellies you up and kind of pushes, like, does he throw a fist? Like, what?
No, he's looking at me. It starts as, let's get away from my wife.
Yeah, who's this strange man?
It just went bad.
So did you lead him to the Lord? Did you invite him to church?
No, like, what? As a matter of fact, I said I was from Timberline Church and we do restaurant evangelism. That's how we grew so big.
That is awesome. Yeah, I mean, ever see this guy again?
No, he never came to church. He wasn't glad. I kind of,
So
went back to lunch. It was bad.
So in summary, I just want to make sure I'm hearing you right. Just, you go to Coops. You have a conversation about evangelism with another guy from our church. You're really pumping yourself up. You see this other couple who's having an intimate date night.
Yeah.
Like I said, maybe he was on a business trip all week. It's the first time you see his wife. And you just think, my shadow will catch. But you don't say anything. You freeze, hoping that your shadow is enough carrying the presence of God.
Thought it would be. You know, the pup burger I thought was the sign, but I don't know.
And you never led him to Christ. No, you never actually saw him again. Bad. And you maybe blamed someone else in the midst of it.
Yeah. That's
that was amateur hour when it comes. Guys, can we all point at Bristow and in unison say, you are such an amateur? One, two, three, you.
Thank you very much.
I knew Bristow was the best sport to open his interviews with. That was bad. I'm going to open back up to the Word of God. 2 Timothy again, this time chapter 4. See, Paul starts 1 or 2 Timothy with the call to evangelism, but he realizes this is so important in the life of the church. He realizes it's so important in the life of a Christian that by the time he's closing his letter, he brings it up to Timothy again. 2 Timothy, this time chapter 4, verse 5. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Some translations say in the verse 5 where it says, work at telling the others the good news. Some translations say, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. It's work, it's sometimes hard, it's oftentimes uncomfortable, but because you have love and passion for God and for others, then commit to doing the work of an evangelist. Paul commands Timothy to do it. It's a directive. And this, by the way, is very different from the general attitude that Christians have towards evangelism today. The Barna Group, which is a Christian Research Center, published a study where they found that 50% of Christian millennials, that's my age and a little bit younger, 50% of Christian millennials think it's actually wrong to share their faith. Wrong. And these are believers, people who testify to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They say it's actually wrong to share their faith. And it's not because they thought the timing was wrong or they were ill-equipped or they couldn't find the words. They actually think it's something wrong to do. If I can be assertive for just a moment. Assertive is just clear, kind, and direct. We have to take our calling from Scripture more seriously than our calling from the culture. We have to. I know that we all go to social media and YouTube, and we get all of our information from all of the interconnected interwebs out there in the world, but our number one source for authority has to be the Word of God, not what the culture teaches us. It is not wrong to share your faith. In fact, the more you study Scripture and you look at the lives of New Testament believers, the more you realize that sharing your faith is part of your faith. Sharing your faith is part of your faith. Jesus said the words, "Go and tell to anyone who experienced his goodness." To the possessed man near the cave, he said, "Go and tell how God has delivered you." To the woman at the well, he said, "Go and tell the city." To the leper who was healed, "Go and show," which is a little bit different, but not that different. And after his resurrection, when people started encountering the risen Lord, he said to his disciples, "Go and tell the others." You don't have to be good at it. You don't need to have perfect theology, and you don't need to manipulate every conversation into a little preaching moment, because that's weird and it never works anyway. Simply go and tell others what God has done in your life. Don't worry so much about sharing the faith perfectly. Instead, share your faith. So we get so fixated on, do we have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed, and do we explain it perfectly? You're so focused on sharing the faith that you miss out on the opportunity to share your faith and what Christ has done in your life to the people around you. From the words of Paul to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Now, confession time, I am not always very good at this. I wish I could tell you that I've led thousands of people to Jesus, but I haven't. Personally, if I lead a handful of people to Jesus each year, and I don't count what happens here when I'm preaching, because usually you brought those folks and you're actually having those conversations, not me. I get happy if I lead a handful of people to Jesus each year. I recently started a personal challenge called the 101 Challenge. I just made it up, and I've started to do it. And the challenge is simple. I want to invite 100 people to church each year, and I want to lead one person to Christ each year. Now, I'd love to lead more people to Christ. I'd love to lead 50 people to Christ each year. But I have found that if I think about 50, I can sometimes miss who's right in front of me. And so by shrinking the numbers, I can stay a little bit more focused and a little more prayerful to who is around me. So I try to invite 100 people to church and invite one person to Christ each year. And I include inviting people to church in the challenge because for me, sharing about my church experience and sharing about my faith go together. Something about my faith is expressed when we gather. And I love it here, so it makes a lot of sense. And I realize, like, the number's not huge, but I also know that if even 25% of this room took that challenge, Northern Colorado would feel the impact of the kingdom. But sometimes I'm bad at this. Like, really bad at this. Just last week, we were getting ready for the big 40th anniversary party, and my kids hadn't eaten. I realized it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was just so busy getting stuff ready. I realized I forgot to get my kids lunch. So I zip over to Wendy's, right? And I grab a couple cheeseburgers and I'm waiting in line. And as I'm waiting in line, I just feel that prompting from the Lord to invite the guy who's helping me to church. This is a simple thing, right? Just invite the guy. I've invited hundreds of people to church before. All I have to do is pay for my meal and say, "Hey, man, I'm pastor at the Vineyard. I just want to invite you to church on Sunday. It's going to be a great party, a celebration. I'd love to have you come." It's that simple. But I'm telling you, something happened. And all of a sudden, my heart just started to pound in my chest. The anxiety started to just kind of rise in my mind. And all of a sudden, I couldn't find my words, which is really strange for me because I can usually just talk a mile a minute and keep going. But all of a sudden, I was tongue-tied. He opened up the window, took my card, and nothing came out of my mouth. He turned around, and he started messing with my card, grabbed a couple other things. So I had a little moment to myself, right? And I used to play football, so at this point, I'm like talking to myself. I'm pumping myself up. I'm like, "Jeff, do the work. Do the work of an evangelist. You're studying this right now. Like, this is, God, put this one on the tee. Just hit the ball. Just swing. Do anything. You can do the work." He opens it, hands me my card, and I look at him, and I go, I wanted to say," and nothing came out, and he stared at me. He, like, leaned out the window, and I said, "Have a great day," and I threw my window up, and I went to the next window to get my cheeseburger. I'm telling, like, I couldn't figure it out. Like, what was wrong with me? And I was kind of like just spinning. So I grabbed my cheeseburgers. By the time I drove from Wendy's to the church, I'm like already confessing to the Lord. Like, I know that you invited me to do that. I can't believe I missed it. Lord, just give me the courage next time. Just give me the courage next time. I want there to be a next time. Give me the courage a next time. That's right. You are such an amateur. And it's not like God was mad at me. There's no shame in that conversation. When we make mistakes, it's not like God talks behind your back to the angels who are around his throne. Like it doesn't work that way, right? Because he sees me for who I am. He sees me for who I am. He sees me as a Christian. He sees me as a follower of Christ, but he also sees me as a follower in Christ in progress. In progress. I'm growing as a follower of Christ. And he sees that progress in me, and he sees it in you just the same. When it comes to being an amateur evangelist, we're going to make mistakes. The key is we just got to keep going. We got to keep trying. We got to keep stepping up to the plate. I think one of the most important questions that we need to ask ourselves in the midst of this message, simple question, is how can I do the work of an evangelist? How can you do the work of an evangelist? How can you make this a part of your life with Jesus? We could have a great conversation about servant evangelism and power evangelism or apologetics and all of those things. They probably have their right place and their right time, but I am a firm believer that one of the most powerful ways to share your faith is through relationships. Through relationships. Bristow, our associate pastor who runs Alpha, always says, God has already positioned you as an evangelist. He's already positioned you evangelistically in the relationships that you naturally have with your coworkers or your neighbors or your friends or wherever you like to have fun. These are the best places to be an amateur. These are the best places to share your faith in the relationships that already exist. I will also present to you that I think as we look forward in the next decade or so, it's probably already happening now, but for the next decade or so, that one of the best ways to share your faith will be through cause-oriented activities. Our culture loves a cause. And so next time you go on a convoy missions trip, take someone with you. Serve at Denver Rescue Mission together. The students, the college students and teenagers, you guys might be the best at this. You can take someone with you to a cause-oriented event, and you can show them that the kingdom of God is good for them personally, and the kingdom of God is good for the world around them, that it influences and impacts our culture. These are mission trips within the mission trip. Serve with someone who doesn't know the Lord and watch what kind of conversations rise to the surface. There's all kinds of ways you can do this. I want to highlight three for you this morning, ways that you can get plugged in right here at our church, all ages, all stages. Again, votrweekly.org has all this information and more, but I do want to highlight three. First, we have Alpha. You saw that little card on your seat when you came in. We have Alpha. Bristow was up here earlier, and of course, Alpha is one of the most effective ways to have conversations about faith, spirituality, and what it means to follow Jesus. If you have people in your life that love food and want to have spiritual conversations in a judgment-free zone, then you've got to check out Alpha and get connected. Thousands of people around the world every year start an eternal relationship with Jesus because of Alpha. And it could be your best evangelistic center. Even if you are in this church and you have questions about Jesus. You know, every week we have people who come and worship with us who are exploring Christianity. They haven't figured out what they're going to do with Jesus yet. And if that's you, sign up for Alpha. Bring a friend and have a good conversation about what our faith is like and what it could mean for you. Because every Sunday, I can't always answer all the questions you might be wrestling with. Alpha could be the place where you get started. Second, we also have a new ministry called Every Tribe, Every Nation. This is a new ministry named straight from Scripture in Revelation 7, where it says, every tribe and every nation is seen in the throne room worshiping God together. Once a month, we're going to celebrate ethnic and racial diversity in the kingdom of God through a great meal, good community, and a multi-ethnic gathering that will help people belong. Now, some of you have friends who might not be ready for church. They might not be ready to come into this environment, but every tribe, every nation is their entry point. It's low risk, and you can invite them along. This is going to be, I think, an exciting ministry that will kick off in just a number of weeks. And the third thing that I want to talk about is Christ Clinic. This is a new partnership that we're launching in October. Christ Clinic offers free health care and the love of Jesus to underserved and overlooked individuals in the greater Fort Collins area. It's an organization that already exists. We're opening our doors and recruiting volunteers to help them. You might be in need yourself of health care, and so this would be a great place for you to jump in, but we're going to need volunteers to make this thing hum along. If you love to connect with people and you can create a warm and welcoming environment, if you're a medical provider, this could be a place for you. If you can help with intake, if you like to offer prayer and you're not offended if they say no, not right now. And if you can translate, this might be the best place for you to serve. The goal of Christ Clinic is simple: care for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of the under-resourced. And I'm so excited we're kicking this off in the fall. All three of these options could be a great place for you to get plugged in and beginning to do the work of an evangelist. These are things that our church, as a community, we're trying to set up and create, but it's going to take hundreds of individuals. It's going to take hundreds of Christians reading these words, experiencing God, and saying to themselves, I will do the work. I will do the work of an evangelist, to go and tell, to go and show the goodness of God. As I close, I want to remind you of the miracle that you've experienced if you've given your life to Christ. There is no greater miracle than salvation itself. And we all love to talk about healing. We all love to talk about power encounters. And as we work our way through this series, we'll actually talk about some of those things. But we've got to start here because we can never forget the beautiful miracle of salvation in Christ. As we prepare for a time of quiet reflection and personal prayer, let us never forget that even beyond physical healing, even beyond a prophetic word that's just so accurate, it reorients your life. We can never forget that at the very crux of it, it happens because of what Christ has done for us. That he died on the cross for you, and he died on the cross for many. He died so that you could be forgiven of your sins. He died so that you could be set free from the bondage of darkness, and he died so that you could experience the life and love of Jesus Christ, not just for eternity, but starting today. And the people around you need to hear that message. Paul's words to Timothy one more time, chapter 4, verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. Do something. Do anything. Even if you think you're bad at it, even if it's amateur hour to the nth degree, do it anyway, because the people around you need to hear the gospel message that Christ has placed in your heart. The world needs to hear it. Let's pray.